Thank you, Susan, for singing that song. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad you came to church today? 1952, young Florence Chadwick stepped into the waters of the Pacific Ocean off Catalina Island, determined to swim to the shore of the mainland California. She'd already been the first woman to swim across the English Channel both ways. The water was very chilly and the air was very foggy. She could hardly see the boats that were accompanying her. Still, she swam for 15 hours. When she begged to get out of the water, her mom, who was in the boat next to her, told her, "You're almost there, you can make it." But finally, she was done and finished, and they pulled her out of the water into the boat. It wasn't until she got in the boat when she discovered the shore was a half mile away. She said on the next day at a news conference, "All I could see was a fog. If I could have seen the shore, I could have made it." For us, that shore is heaven. And as we go through this life, we see the shore. We can see heaven. As followers of Jesus, we are destined to go and live with him forever in this wonderful place called heaven. I'm really kind of concerned that we don't talk about heaven more. You know, I have a whole book, office full of books, hundreds of books. I only got one of them that's about heaven. I don't know why people don't write about heaven more or talk about heaven. I know we got to live here and now. I understand that. But we will live forever in heaven, okay? You know, some people think we shouldn't really focus on heaven. We need to focus on here. Listen to the words of C.S. Lewis. He said, "If you read history, you'll find the Christians who did the most for this present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they become so ineffective in this. Aim at heaven and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you get neither." So we're going to talk about heaven today for a little while. Celebrate the truth of heaven. We're going to look at John chapter 14, the words of Jesus. If you'll stand to read as we read God's word, let's look and see what Jesus said here to his disciples. John 14. He said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Lord, thank you for your word and for the amazing promise of heaven. Pray, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts today. And we want to just open up to receive the message you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So let's talk about heaven for a little bit this morning, if we can. First thing we see is heaven is the home of God. Jesus calls it my Father's house, which is, he's talking about heaven. In my Father's house, he's talking about heaven there. It is the home of God, and it's a place where we will go and live with him forever. This home of God is a place of perfect holiness. Perfect holiness. It makes sense when you think about it. God is holy, so his home is going to be holy. We are called to be holy, and we're called to live with him forever in this holy place. Since heaven is a holy place, there will be no sin there, no rebellion, no evil, no devil. It's a holy place. Revelation 21 says, "Nothing impure will enter it, nor will anything who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life." It's a place of holiness. Now, God wants us to be holy as he is holy. We know for us to be holy, it is a process with crisis moments along the way, but it's a lifelong process, and we will not be completely, perfectly holy until we get to heaven. That's where the perfection of holiness comes. And doesn't it make sense, since heaven is a holy place, that he would prepare us to be perfectly suited to live in that holy place? We'll be holy as he is holy, and we'll live in the holy place. It's a place of radiant glory. Heaven will glow with the glory of God. If you read in the scriptures, you see God showing up oftentimes in glorious light. You know, on Mount Sinai, when he gave the law, the lightning, you know, when he was leading the people of Israel through the wilderness, there was a pillar of fire guiding them at night. When the angels announced the coming of Jesus in Bethlehem, the night was bright with the glory of God. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain before Peter, James, and John, and his face shone like the sun. God often showed up, his glory showed up as a glorious light. Rare in the Bible, but it's there. But in heaven, it's the constant thing, the glory of God lighting everything up. In fact, it says in Revelation 21, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives its light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The glory of God is going to light the place up. Now, it's not just about the light. This wonderful presence of God is there. We'll be with him. Have you ever been, hopefully you've been in a place where God's presence was so rich and so present, you just felt so blessed and so full of joy and peace, and you just knew you were in the presence of God, and you didn't want to take one step from that place because you're experiencing the presence of God. Hopefully you've been in that kind of place. In heaven, we'll experience that amazing presence of God, but we'll never leave it. We'll always have that presence of God, that wonderful, amazing presence of God. Amen. It's also a place of absolute safety. It's a safe place. We want to be safe, don't we? Don't you lock your doors at night? You probably do. Many of you have security systems in your house. I mean, you know, the Ring things on your doorbell and cameras. And, you know, we want to be safe, right? Heaven is a place of absolute safety. There'll be no fear in heaven. Amen. No fear in heaven. All the results that came from the fall and the suffering and everything are gone in heaven. We don't have to fear death because it won't be there. We don't have to fear disease because it won't be there. We don't have to fear the devil. The devil won't be there. We don't have to fear anybody will harm us because those people won't be there. We don't have to fear we'll lack anything because it'll be abundant provision. You fear nothing. Place of abundant safety. Heaven is the home of God's family. See, it's not just God's home, it's our home forever, where we'll live with him forever and ever. Before we go on and talk about God's home and our home, we need to make sure we understand that against popular belief, not everybody goes to heaven. That is the popular belief. I mean, you listen to just about anybody on TV or whatever, you know, they always talk about going to heaven. I mean, I've done, I don't even know how many, I have it written down somewhere, a lot of funerals through my ministry. With one exception, I don't know of anybody that didn't think their loved one went to heaven. Everybody thinks their loved ones go to heaven. But the reality is, only the people who go to heaven are those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior. And God invites everyone to do that. He wants everybody to go to heaven. But you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's not an automatic. Just because you're in the human race doesn't mean you go to heaven. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith. So heaven is the home of God's family. It is a place where we'll belong. Have you ever felt like you didn't really belong someplace? You know, you just don't feel like you're quite fit in. It's not fun to feel like you don't really belong. Heaven is a place where you will really belong. It is a place where you'll feel perfectly at home, a place where you belong. C.S. Lewis says that if you find in ourselves the desire for nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is you're made for another world. Scripture says our citizenship is in heaven. Using C.S. Lewis's quote, we could say it this way: if you find yourself not feeling like you really belong, most probably the explanation is that you're made to belong in another world, heaven, someday. It is going to be a place perfectly suited for us. Do you realize that Jesus said he was going to make it for us? He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, place for you. He's making it for us. Now, we sang in one of the songs we sang a little bit ago, we sang about a mansion. I can't guarantee you're going to get a mansion. But you're going to have a place perfectly suited for you. Perfectly suited for you. Jesus is creating a place for us. It's going to be awesome. It might be a mansion. I don't know. But it's going to be perfectly suited. It says in the scripture, Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Have you ever looked for a home? You know, you go out shopping, you want to buy a house, and you go in and you see a lot of wonderful houses, but they don't quite fit. They're not quite you. They're wonderful, beautiful, but you just don't feel like, this isn't my home. This isn't mine. Until you find the one and you go, yeah, this is it. Well, let me just guarantee you, when you find the place that Jesus prepared for you in heaven, you will say, this is it. This is my home. Because it's perfectly prepared for you, suited for you. It'll be a place of perfect fellowship. You won't be alone in heaven. There are people from every nation, the Bible says, in heaven, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord. We'll be reunited with believers who have gone before us. I really look forward to seeing my dad again. I look forward to seeing Joni's folks again. I look forward to many of the friends that I have known throughout my life that have gone on to heaven. I look forward to seeing all of them again. That will happen in heaven. We will know each other in heaven. Amen. And I think it would be cool to be up there together and to see each other. We will know each other, a place of fellowship, unending fellowship. The scripture says, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. See, part of the family is already up in heaven. Part of the family's here. But someday we'll be all reunited. That one day. Perfect fellowship. Heaven is a real place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He didn't say he was going to prepare an illusion for you or a fantasy or a make-believe. This is a real place. Heaven is a real place. You know, there's a lot of popular things out there in our world in movies and books about fantasy and superheroes, and, you know, they're fun and all that stuff, but we need to make sure we separate and understand we don't put heaven in that category. Heaven is a real place, not a fantasy, not make-believe. He's preparing a real place. We are not going to be like some cartoonist, picture us, floating on a cloud, playing a harp somewhere up in the sky, okay? It's a real place that Jesus has prepared for us. It will be a place of dazzling beauty. How do I know that? Because Jesus created the world. He created everything that is in this universe, and he is the one creating heaven, it says, preparing a place for us. It's going to be amazing. I think we'll be amazed at what we see when we get to heaven. Many of the people, you know, there's been people who have died and come back to life. Some of them report going to heaven for a brief moment of time. One of the things that they say is how beautiful it is. How beautiful it is there. Jesus told the thief on the cross, when the thief who is on the cross next to him said, remember me, he told him, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. Sounds like a beautiful place to me. Paradise. It'll be a place of continual newness. Continual newness. Revelation 21 says, he who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. You see, life on this earth kind of wears us down. Anybody feel worn down? I mean, we get tired, we get worn down, and we get old, and eventually we die. But in heaven, it won't be like that. We'll be a place of continual newness. There's no death. You'll never be tired. You'll never be worn out. You'll never be worn out emotionally, physically, spiritually, mentally. That won't happen. There'll be no depression in heaven, no disappointment in heaven. It'll be a place of continual newness. Everything is new. It'll be a place of inexpressible joy. Heaven will be a place of great, great joy. You will be happy in heaven. You know, some people don't want to go, and I understand no one wants to go right this minute. You know, we're attached to life here, and that's good. But someday we'll go to heaven as believers. It'll be a place of inexpressible joy. God is a great God of joy. He wants to share his joy with us. He said it when Jesus came. He said, you know, that he might have his joy and joy to the full, the fullness of joy. Disneyland advertises themselves as the happiest place on earth. Did you know that? We were there a few weeks ago with our grandkids and a couple of our kids, and it's a fun place. It's a happy place, and we had a good time. But I'm telling you, after a few days, I was ready to go home. I was ready to leave the happiest place on earth and go home, okay? Heaven will be the happiest place you've ever experienced. It won't be an amusement park, by the way, but it'll be the happiest place you've ever experienced, and you won't want to go home, and you won't have to go home. It will be your home. Amen? Heaven is prepared for us by Jesus. He said he's preparing a place for them. If Jesus prepared it, it's going to be amazing. It's a place where we will live forever. Forever. That's a long time. Forever. Revelation 21, 4 says he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more death. We won't die there. No one will die. It'll be a place of forever life, eternal life. And it's hard for us on this earth to fathom it. We can't really understand it, but it's wonderful to think and try to imagine that we'll live forever with Jesus there. It'll also be a place of perfect health. Perfect health. The ultimate healing takes place in heaven. It really does. Perfect health. Do you know that the Bible says that we're going to get new bodies? It says, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so it'll be like his glorious body? We're going to actually get new bodies. I mean, you're still going to be recognizable, but it'll be new and perfect. No sickness in heaven, my friends. No wheelchairs in heaven. No oxygen tanks. No blindness. No deafness. No handicaps. No dementia. No hospitals. No ambulances. No surgery. No shots. No medicine. No allergies. No colds. No flu. No cancer. No diabetes. No heart attacks. No strokes. We could go on and on and on and on. It's not there. Amen. Whatever health problems you have, they are gone in heaven. Amen. That's good news. It's also a place of glorious inheritance. Glorious inheritance. The scripture says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, and fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, I don't really understand this. It's awesome and I love it that God, on top of everything else, would give us an inheritance. But in his grace, he does. I mean, he gives us eternal life. He gives us this eternal life in heaven and also this inheritance of the wonderful blessings of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. It's amazing. It's also a place of great reward. Great reward. As if heaven wouldn't be enough of a reward. Jesus said, the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and he will reward each person according to what he has done. Now, no one gets to heaven by what they do. You don't get to heaven because you've done certain things. You get to heaven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you receive him as your Savior. But we are rewarded in heaven for what we've done. That's what the scripture says. And again, that's a bonus because heaven is enough. But he rewards us. It's going to be amazing. It's what he promises. Heaven is a place of perfect love. You know, isn't it wonderful to be loved and to be loved so that you know you're just absolutely accepted for who you are, unconditionally loved, and God loves us that way. He loves us completely, and we experience some of that here on earth, praise the Lord, but in heaven, everything will be perfected, and we'll experience this amazing love of God, knowing all the time that we are perfectly loved by God. It's going to be amazing. It'll be a place of complete knowledge. Complete knowledge. Things that we don't understand then, now, we'll understand then. 1 Corinthians says, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. I like what C.S. Lewis says. The first words that we're going to say when we get to heaven are, of course. Of course. We're going to understand. Complete knowledge. Heaven is a place where we will live with Jesus forever. He's preparing this place for us, it says, so that you can come and be where with me where I am. We'll enjoy a close friendship with Jesus. The only reason we get to heaven is because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But in heaven, we continue the relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus calls us friends in the scripture. And the most important part of heaven is Jesus. The most important part of heaven is Jesus. All the blessings of heaven come out of the relationship we have with Jesus Christ. We'll have an amazing relationship with Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards, the 18th century preacher, said these words. He said, God is the highest good of the reasonable creature. The enjoyment of him is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully is to enjoy God. It is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. Fathers, mothers, husbands, wives, and children, or the company of earthly friends are but shadows, but the enjoyment of God is the substance. They are scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the fountain. They are drops, but God is the ocean. We're going to enjoy Jesus being with him in heaven. We'll enjoy serving Jesus in heaven. Revelation 22:3 says, his servants will serve him. Now, I don't know what all that means and what we're going to do there, but apparently we're going to serve Jesus in heaven. You're not going to be sitting around a swimming pool drinking lemonade 24/7, being bored. You're going to serve Jesus. It's going to be a great place, and you will love serving Jesus. It won't be like you're going, oh, no, I have to serve Jesus now. You will want to serve Jesus, and it'll be amazing and awesome. No one is going to be bored in heaven. It's going to be the most exciting life you can imagine there, serving Jesus. And we'll enjoy worshiping Jesus. Revelation talks about all these great worship services are going to happen in heaven, where we'll be worshiping with people from all different people all over the world. Maybe some of those Pakistanis we saw in the video earlier. Revelation 19:6 says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Heaven will be a great place of worship. That does not mean that you're going to be in a never-ending worship service. It doesn't mean that. You're going to be sitting in church forever. You know, not that it's a bad thing to be in church, but I'm saying that's not the point. There will be times of worship, but you'll live a life of worship. You'll be worshiping God all the time. And sometimes you'll get together with all the believers and do it together. Sometimes you're not together with the believers, but you're going to live a life of worship, enjoying Jesus in heaven. Praise the Lord. Anybody looking forward to heaven? Amen. There was a lady who was getting ready. She got a diagnosis from her doctor that she had just a few months to live. So she called her pastor and said, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And so he came over and they planned this funeral service out for her. She told him what songs she wanted and what scripture, and she wanted to be buried with her Bible and all this stuff. And as she was getting it, he was getting ready, she said, wait, Pastor, there's one more thing that's very important. When I'm buried in the casket, I want to have a fork in my right hand. Pastor kind of looked at her like she'd lost it. And she said, let me explain, this is really important. She said, all the years that I attended church potluck dinners and church socials, when the dishes of the main course were being cleared away, someone would inevitably lean over and say, keep your fork. And it was a sign that something better was coming, like chocolate cake or apple pie. So when people see me in the casket with a fork in my hand, I want you to tell them, keep your fork, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. We know that we have to live our life here. We get to live our life here, and this is where we are right now. And someday, heaven is out there someday. And we don't know how long it is for each of us before we get there. But we need to make sure that we're ready, that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. And we also need to take as many people as we can with us to heaven. You don't want any of your family and friends to miss heaven. You want them to be with you there. So we need to make sure that should be our main goal in life, to get to heaven and to take people with us to heaven. And live as citizens of heaven now. We have a lot to look forward to. Praise the Lord. That should encourage us as we live our life. We're going to sing another song in closing this morning. Another song about heaven. We've sung several of them today. Because we do have a lot to look forward to. We're going to worship our Lord. And if you need to, as we sing this song, if someone's here that needs to come and pray, the altars are up front here, and this is a great place to pray. If there's something you need to pray about today, the Lord of heaven is here by his Spirit, and he'll meet us. He'll hear us as we pray.